Good morning, and it's good to see everyone this morning, and it's good for us to be able to come together to worship God. I appreciate your presence. Appreciate Paulo saying something about our upcoming meeting, reminding us this Thursday through Sunday, Brother John Gentry will be with us, and we look forward to those series of lessons. You'll get to hear some good sermons for a change, and so you'll enjoy that, I'm sure. It's a great opportunity to be with Brother John. Just as a reminder, we support him. And we have an opportunity to talk with him about his work. I know as a minister, for many years, when brethren talk with me about the preaching that I'm doing, it's very encouraging. So it's an opportunity for us to encourage him and his family and the work that he does. And he is a hard worker, not only in the local church, but also in the community. He is trying to do several personal evangelism types of things out in the community. And that is very important. So let's get to know him better. And as Paula mentioned, there's a meal list. That's a great opportunity to spend private time with he and his family and encouraging them. So I would encourage you to fill that out. We can be hospitable and we can encourage them along those lines. And of course, be here ourselves for the gospel meeting. That's one of the greatest ways that we can support the truth, is to be here to hear that message. Along those lines, again this Sunday, I've included the gospel meeting announcement in your bulletin, and it's just an easy way and a great way to hand that to somebody and invite them to come. So we look forward to a good weekend coming up this next weekend. When we think about an individual leaving their homeland, we think about Abraham in the scripture reading that we just had in Genesis chapter 12. And you think about how that we're blessed by a man who was willing to leave his country. Verse 1 says that he was supposed to leave, and then verse 3 says that he would bless us. There is blessing when somebody is willing to leave and sacrifice for the Lord. Are there any other Old Testament characters who were born and raised in a particular area, and God's plan was for them to leave that area? Does anybody else come to mind? If you'll turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith, faith's hall of fame, as we describe it sometimes. And I appreciate Daniel leading us in that song about faith being the victory. When we turn to that faith's hall of fame and we come down to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, we read about the faith of Moses. Wasn't Moses another Old Testament individual who left his homeland where he was born and raised? I want to learn this morning from this text of Scripture some important questions, five to be exact, that we need to be asking ourselves each day that we get up. Five questions that will better our relationship with God, taken from the life of Moses, a life of faith. When you start reading in Hebrews chapter 11, as we're going to read in just a minute, in verse 24, it starts off with, by faith. Verse 27, by faith. Verse 28, by faith. When we have a faith in God, it's going to raise some questions, or should raise some questions in our life that we need to be asking ourselves. Let's read the text together in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. We're going to read five verses. Each verse has a question that we want to consider this morning. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. We're going to look this morning at this great man of faith. We know him as the leader of Israel out of Egypt. But when we begin to examine his life and we look at the details that are mentioned here by the Hebrew writer, we're going to find some issues and questions that Moses faced that we need to face each and every day to make sure that we're right with God. You know, when we get up each day, there are a lot of questions that we start answering and asking ourselves, but they're really not that fundamental. When that phone alarm goes off, the first question is, well, do I get up or do I hit the snooze button? And then eventually when I get up and get out of bed, it's do I get dressed first or do I eat and then get dressed? And if I get dressed, what clothes am I going to wear? And if I eat, what am I going to eat? And when I go out the door to school or to work, do I take the car? Do I take the truck? And we have all kinds of questions that we're asking ourselves. But they're really not fundamental and foundational to what being a Christian is all about. They're fine questions, but they're really mundane in the big picture. Other questions that may or may not be on the list, they should be on our list because by faith we want to be living right each day. Other questions, however, are fundamental. They are foundational. They are the bedrock of our life. And if we don't get these questions right, if we don't face these issues in the right way, our life will be out of whack. We'll not be right with God. We're going to learn this morning from Moses that he got it right with regard to these most crucial things that made him right with God. And we want to look at that this morning. Nothing wrong with asking, am I going to have bacon and eggs this morning or cereal? But there's a lot more important questions than that. So many in the world are not even asking these questions. They don't know the questions to ask. But as we turn to God's Word, we can be helped. And so we're going to consider five this morning, one from each of these verses. What do we need to be asking ourselves when we get up each day? What issues do we need to be addressing in our lives each day to make sure that when the Lord comes again, we are ready to be with Him in heaven? Let's go back through the text again. Look at verse 21. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at the text here. There's a contrast between, am I going to be an Egyptian or am I going to be a Hebrew? We know from the story in Exodus chapter 1, we remember that story from Bible class and baby Moses in the basket. And we know that he was born to Hebrew parents, but when he's a baby, he comes into the custody of Pharaoh's daughter and he's raised as an Egyptian. The first question and issue that he's asking himself is, who am I going to be? Am I going to be an Egyptian? Am I going to be a Hebrew? The first issue that Moses settled in his mind was the issue of identity. When we get up each day, we have to know who we are. Am I in the world? Or am I in the Lord's body? Am I a worldly person or am I a faithful Christian? He answered the question, who am I? You know, when you're real little, you don't deal with that. Look at the text again in verse 24. When he had grown up, underscore that in your Bible. When he had grown up, we have to make some grown up decisions. We have to do the mature thing. We have to grow up. And when we grow up, we have to decide who we are going to be in the world. You know, this matter of refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that's no small thing. You might recall in the story of Genesis when Joseph is in Egypt some 400 years earlier, you might recall that in Genesis 43:32, Egyptians don't eat with Hebrews. Remember that? And do you remember in Genesis 46 and verse 34, it said that the Israelites, the Hebrews, they lived in the land of Goshen. Do you know where that is? That's on the outskirts of town. The Hebrews are not allowed to be right with the Egyptians. So when Moses is saying, I'm a Hebrew, I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter, what he's saying is, I am a child of God. I am a Hebrew. I'm an Israelite. And I'm going to make a break from this way that I have been raised. Are you and I willing to do that? In Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, Stephen said that he was taught the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had an excellent education in Egypt. He had an excellent position in Egypt. We're going to talk about that some more later. But he settles the question that I am an Israelite, Hebrew, child of God. I am a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm going to side with them. I'm going to decide who I am. You know, when you're a baby, you don't have to worry about that. When you're a little toddler, you're not asking that question. But there comes a time when he had grown up. There's a time for some grown-up, mature questions. And that's for us this morning. When we get up each day, brother and friends, we need to be asking the question, who am I today? Who am I today? This refusal, look at the text again. And by the way, we remember that in this great chapter on faith, that every time it says that by faith, so-and-so, there's always a verb. Faith is an action. And look at the verb here in verse 24, refuse. When you have an identity question and you're refusing to be this and you're going to choose to be that, there's going to be some costs. There's going to be some consequences, and sometimes it's not that great. That's right. But you've sided with the Lord. So this refusal, this grown-up, mature refusal is going to cost him. That's right. But it's also going to be very rewarding for him. You and I must make a break from the world around us. You and I must get up each day and answer the question, who am I? Jesus said a man's foes will be of his own household. You might have to make a break from close family members. Jesus said in Matthew 19:29, with regard to the rich young ruler who didn't want to give up his things, he said some people are going to leave houses and lands and family for my sake. You're going to have to leave something. That's what many people in the world are not even willing to do. To stay in comfortable Egypt. You and I are children of God. We are Christians. That's who we are. And the sooner we settle that, the easier it is to live each day. Not one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Not sort of a half-hearted, lukewarm Christian, but we get up each day and we refuse to be this, but we're going to be this. It's a great question. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, we are lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We are to be holding forth the word of life, whom you become blameless and harmless, underscored in your Bible, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We are children of God. That's who we are. And John says the same thing in 1 John 3:10 and 1 John 4:4. When we settle that question, the day becomes much easier. So my suggestion this morning on this point is simply this. Quit trying to be someone you're not. Relax. God can work in you and work in me when we settle the question that we are a Christian today. And that's who we are. We don't have to worry about pleasing somebody else. We don't have to worry about fitting in with some crowd. We don't have to worry about making somebody else happy other than God. We're just going to be a child of God. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, if that was a situation where Pharaoh's daughter was a pretty mean person, you know, like Cruella de Vil, that, yeah, I don't want to. But this was a very good situation for Moses. And he's saying, nope, I don't want to, I'm not that. And it's time to make that grown-up decision this morning. I'm not that. And when we quit trying to be somebody else, we can relax and let God work in our lives and great things will happen. Come back with me now to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 25. Let's look at the second issue and question that Moses answered and that we need to ask and answer each day that we get up. The text says, by faith, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, there's your verb, faith is active, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The second question that Moses dealt with is, what do I want to be in life? What choices do I want to make in life that are going to dictate who I am and what I want to be? He settled the issue of responsibility. Something that a lot of grown-ups are still struggling with. They're not responsible. Look at it again. He made a choice to share ill treatment with the people of God. Once I go down this road of leading the Israelites out of Egypt, there's going to be some problems. And we know that Pharaoh did not want them to go. And what did Pharaoh do at the very beginning? Doubled their work, right? Once I go down this road, there's going to be some ill treatment. But I need to be responsible and do what God is calling me to do. In Exodus chapter 3 and 4, Moses meets God in the burning bush and God is saying, I want you to lead my people. I hear their groaning. I want you to lead them out of Egypt. And Moses, he did offer up some excuses there in chapter 4. But he realizes, I'm going to make a choice and I'm going to be mistreated and ill-treated for it, but that is better than the passing pleasures of sin for a season. He settled the issue of responsibility. I'm a grown-up now, and I need to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to lead Israel out of Egypt. And I can stay here in my comfortable, pleasurable, sinful environment. And look at verse 25, the pleasures of sin for a season. I can think of at least one major sin that would have been in Egypt, and that is idolatry. But other pleasures of sin would have been there too for Moses. And I'm not going to pick the temporary, passing, fleeting pleasures of sin, regardless of how pleasure it is, I'm going to choose something else. I'm going to do the grown-up thing and be responsible and choose the right thing. Anybody can just live in the world. Anybody can just stay in a sinful world. I'm going to be responsible and I want to be what God wants me to be. And so today, we have our Egypt. We have to choose. We have to make some choices. Moses didn't say, I'm just going to stay here. This is where I was born and raised. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen outlines the life of Moses with three sets of 40. There's three verses there in Acts chapter 7 when he's preaching in Jerusalem and he gets to the story of Moses. And he said the first 40 years is from birth up to the time in Exodus chapter 2, when he kills the Egyptian. 40 years in Egypt. Then he flees to the land of Midian for the next 40 years. That brings him up to 80 years old. Then in Exodus 3, he meets the Lord in the burning bush and God calls him to lead Israel out of Egypt. He's 80 years old. He goes back to Egypt and he'll spend the next 40 years with them wandering in the wilderness. Three sets of 40. He dies at 120 years old. But he had spent the first 40 years of his life in this place where I could be an Egyptian, I can enjoy the pleasures of sin there. And he's saying when he had grown up, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to move forward and be responsible. Isn't that what Paul did? In Philippians chapter 3, 5 through 14, the Lord, the risen Lord meets him. He's baptized into Christ, Acts 22, 16. He doesn't say, well, I'm just going to live my past life as a Pharisee. I'm comfortable with that. I'm good with that. No, he said, I'm going to leave it behind. And God is calling me to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And I'm going to get out there and do what God wants me to do. It's time to make some choices. Who do I really want to be in life? And it's a great lesson from Moses. Later in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 and verse 19, he encourages the Israelites, choose life. He had known what it was like to make some choices. He tells the Israelites to choose life over death. Joshua saying, choose the Lord over idolatry. You know what we don't find in Moses? We don't find any blaming. We don't find any excuse making. We don't find this attitude of, well, I spent 40 years in Egypt and I was raised that way and that's the way I'm going to be. All we find is the choice to take the responsibility and do what God tells me to do. He met me in the burning bush. And I've got to get back there to Egypt out of this land of Midian and be a leader. And it's going to be hard. There's going to be some ill treatment, but it's the responsible thing to do. What do I want to be in life? What do I want to be in life? Make the choice to be the responsible person and do what God wants you to do. And no passing sinful pleasures. Keep in mind that the writer of Hebrews, as you turn back with me to Hebrews 3, verse 13, keep in mind that the writer of Hebrews is giving an example of a man, Moses, to encourage them in their present day, in the first century, to live right. They have their sins. They have their choices they need to make. They have their responsibilities to live right for the Lord. And so he brings up the matter of sin back in chapter 3 and verse 13, the deceitfulness of sin. In chapter 12, he brings up the weight of sin which does so easily beset us. And he's trying to teach the Hebrew brethren that here's a man who made some choices to stay away from these sinful pleasures, and you can do the same. Keep in mind that these examples of faith in chapter 11 are for the brethren that he's writing to, and many of these examples have parallels in their own personal lives. Who do I want to be? Come with me now to verse 26. Let's look at the third issue and question that Moses dealt with when he grew up. He answered the question, what is important to me? Each day that we get up, we need to answer the question, what or who is the most important thing in my life? Is it my cell phone or something else? Is it my video game or something else? Is it my friends or something else? We have to answer the question, what is truly important to me? In verse 26, accounting, some versions say considering. He, in his mind, had to think about some things. What is important? The reproach of Christ is greater riches, greater. Look at that. There is a comparison between something that's less and something that's greater. I'm having to make a choice here of what is important. That the reproach of Christ is greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked unto the recompense of reward. The third issue that Moses settled in his life was the issue of priority. what is most important to me today? Now, this morning, what's most important to you, I can see in your presence here this morning. Obviously, coming together to worship God is what's important to you. You could easily be doing a lot of other things, and a lot of people are doing a lot of other things. So you've settled that question, and that's great. But we settle that question each day that we get up. We read over that statement in verse 26, the treasures of Egypt. Do you realize what all of that involves? Historians tell us that this would be called the New Kingdom period, 1500 BC to 1000 BC. And whether you take what's called the early Exodus or the later Exodus, either way, I take what's called the early, the 1450 BC. But either way, you're in this New Kingdom period. And we're talking about enormous amounts of wealth in Egypt. You remember in Exodus chapter 1, they're building the cities of Pithom and Ramses. There's buildings being built. There's land in Egypt going down the Nile that's being amassed. Very strong army, very large kingdom, very wealthy. And Moses said, that's not important to me. And look at what he says in verse 26, the Hebrew writer. He doesn't compare the treasures of Egypt with more money. He compares it with the reproach of Christ. The Hebrew writer is not saying that Christ was there with Moses being reproached. He's saying that Moses was willing, the previous verse, to go through ill treatment and reproach just like Christ would when Christ came. And these Hebrew readers, can identify with the Christ who was reproached. And so he's saying that Moses was willing to go through what Christ would go through. Reproach. And that's more important to me than having wealth. Moses could have and did have power and privilege and pleasure and possessions. And he said, nope, that's not important. Look at the word in verse 26. He looked unto the recompense of reward. This is the word that means literally to look away from one thing and look toward another. I'm going to look away from the treasures of Egypt. That's not important to me. And I'm going to look to doing what God wants me to do in leading these people to the land of Canaan, the recompense of reward. We know later that he doesn't even get to go in. And still he found that to be more important than the treasures of Egypt. So in chapter 5 and 6, each of these verses deals with a portion of his life in the book of Exodus. I'm not going to be Pharaoh's daughter anymore, Exodus 1 and 2. And I'm going to have to make a responsible choice here to do what God wants me to do, the burning bush, and he's calling me to be a leader, 3 and 4. Now we come up to chapters 5 and 6 where he comes back to Egypt and he starts to lead his people out and boom, he immediately faces rejection. Oh, there's going to be some problems here. And Pharaoh says, let's double their work and let's make them go out and find their own straw. Let's not give that to them anymore. And all of a sudden he realizes, hey, this is resistance. And yet, it's more important than all the treasures of Egypt. We've got to answer the question and settle the issue of priority. And when we do that each day, our life is a lot easier. Quit trying to please somebody else. We are a child of God. We're responsible and we're making the right priorities. We cannot serve God and mammon, a word that means riches, Matthew 26, 24. We can't do it. You got to pick one. And put the kingdom first, Matthew 6, 33. Jesus says in Matthew 16, 24, what does it matter if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? What does it profit? Moses could have just stayed there and I've got all these physical riches and money just flowing everywhere. It's the new kingdom period. He said no. Bob read around the Lord's table this Ephesians passage. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. And the riches of His grace in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, the word riches shows up more than once. We are rich in Christ, brethren. And that is more important than cars and homes and money in the bank. We have to have those things to live, but they're not important. And a better reward. It's interesting that word reward shows up in the same book. And again, the Hebrew writer is trying to get these brethren to see that their life is mirroring the life of Moses. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. You both had compassion on them that were in bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. When we have faith in God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, He is the rewarder of them that seek after Him. And Moses realized that. I'm not going to sit here in Egypt with all my money. That's not important. I'm going to do what God wants me to do and be right with Him. And I'm going to have to suffer for it. The reproach of Christ. That's right. Can you imagine the heat that Moses took when he came back in Exodus chapter 5 and 6 and tried to lead his people out? And the Pharaoh comes down on them, the people. Can you imagine the heat that Moses took for that? You come waltzing back in here after 40 years, and all you've done is mess it up. You've made it harder for us. Thank you very much. See? But when your priorities are right, you'll take that from day to day. And there will be those types of things that come up. He was not focused on power and privilege and pleasure and possessions. No. He had a better set of values. He looked away from Egypt and looked unto the recompense of reward which comes from serving God. A higher vision for life. As Paul would say, his mind was set on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Colossians 3:1. And that's what we need to do each day. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11 and come down to verse 27. And let's look at the fourth question that Moses dealt with. And that is, how am I going to live today? He settled the issue of resiliency. Am I going to be a quitter or am I going to endure? The verse says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Some wonder, well, is this the first time he left Egypt when he was running away after killing the Egyptian in Exodus 2? Or later when he leads the people out? I believe it's later when he leads the people out. He's not fearing the wrath of the king. Pharaoh got hot. During the 10 plagues, he got hot. He doubled their work. He said, I'm not going to let you go. And Moses said, I don't fear that kind of thing. We're going to go. Let my people go. But look at it. He endured. He had to endure some things before they even got out of Egypt. And then he definitely had to endure some things in the wandering of the wilderness. How am I going to live? Each day we get up, these are the five important questions. What we're going to wear and what we're going to eat pales in comparison to these fundamental questions that make sure that we're right with God each day. Might be good to list them and put them close to the bed so that when we do get up, we see those five questions. How am I going to live today? Am I, by faith, going to face my difficulties? Am I going to endure or am I going to be a quitter? Am I going to be someone who fears what this person thinks and what that person says and the kids at school are going to do this and my coworkers are going to do that? Or are we going to simply make the choice that I'm a Christian? I'm not trying to be somebody else. I'm serving God. I'm responsible. I've got better priorities than the earthly things of this life. And when the going gets tough, I'm not going to go anywhere. So, we come up to Exodus 7 through 11 now. And the 10 plagues. And he's meeting resistance and he's meeting difficulties. Pharaoh's not letting them go. Oh, sure, you can leave. He had to endure. How am I going to live today? Am I going to be resilient and firm and courageous and enduring? Or am I going to be a quitter? Look at what the text says there in verse 27. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. How can you see someone who's invisible? He didn't have special Superman vision. He had the eye of faith. He had seen the Lord in the burning bush, a manifestation of him and evidence of him. And he kept his eyes by faith on an invisible God. And he said, I'm going to serve him. And if that means enduring, I'm going to endure. And I'm not going to quit. Who am I going to be today? How am I going to live today? We need to face difficulties and endure. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15. Again, the Hebrew writer is trying to say Moses is like you folks. You have to do some of these same types of things. He brings up the matter of Abraham, who patiently endured. Having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And in chapter 10 and verse 32, we read verse 34 just a while ago. Look at verse 32, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. You're just like Moses. Chapter 12 and verse 2, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter. Even Jesus endured the cross. Had Jesus been a quitter, we wouldn't be here this morning. We couldn't be saved through the blood of Jesus if he had been a quitter. Well, I'm just going to quit before I get to the cross. In chapter 13 and verse 13, again, back to the brethren. Let us therefore go unto him, that is Jesus, without the camp. That's where the crucifixion was. That's where the hardship is. Bearing his reproach. So there's going to be difficult times. But God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, 2 Timothy 1:7. Brethren and friends, there's no gain without pain. There's no advancement without adversity. There's no progress without problems. There's no crown without the cross. And when we answer the question each day, how am I going to live? Am I going to live as a person who endures and goes through all of this? Or am I a quitter? When I answer that question, one day I'll get the crown. And the gain. And the advancement. And the progress. And Moses was able to lead those Israelites out of that bondage, that slavery. And as a result of his efforts, and then later Joshua, they're able to go into the land of Canaan. And then last of all, look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. There's one last question that we have to answer each day that we get up. And that is, who am I going to listen to? Who am I going to listen to today? Moses settled the question of authority. Who am I going to listen to? The world or God? The text says that by faith he kept the Passover. Now we're up to Exodus chapter 12. The 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And in just a moment, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. There's power in the blood. There's still power in the blood today. And you contact that in the waters of baptism. But they're told to sacrifice the Passover lamb and take some of that blood and put it on the doorpost. And when you do that, the firstborn will not be killed. And Moses had to make a choice. Do I listen to God or not? Turn back with me to Exodus chapter 12. You know, if this were to come up today, somebody would say, well, now wait a minute. First of all, I've never seen anybody have their firstborn killed all throughout town. That's never happened before. I don't believe that that's going to happen. And number two, you're telling me that if I take some lamb's blood and smear it on my house, which I would rather not do because I like the way my house looks, you're telling me that that's going to save me. You see? You can see how people would reason today about that. I don't want to mess up my house with a bunch of red blood. I don't like that. But if God tells you to do that, you have to make a choice, right? So after being given the detailed instructions, it wasn't just some general type of thing, but verse 5, a lamb without blemish, number 1, a male, number 2. And then the 14th day, verse 6, there's all these specific ordinances, and Moses was careful to be obedient to those things that God said in order to be saved. And we find in verse 21 that he calls for the elders of Israel and he tells them what to do. I'm going to listen to what God says. He settled the issue of authority. It's not what I think and feel. It's not what my religious friends are doing. It's not what the denominational world is doing. It's not what the polls are saying. It's not what people are voting on. It's what does the Word of God say? That is the best issue to answer every day. So today, we have to settle that issue. Some people haven't settled that issue yet. It's time to make a grown-up decision when he had grown up. And the grown-up thing to do is to listen to Bible authority. Not what we think and feel. Not what my religious friends are doing, but what does the Word of God say? And in Exodus chapter 12, he called for the elders of Israel and he told them exactly what God had said. He didn't alter that. And they're saved. Lo and behold, just do what God says. Today it's Jesus. We're not going to listen to anyone but Jesus. Hear ye Him, Matthew 17:5. That's how God speaks to us today through His Son, Hebrews 1:1-2. We're going to do only that which we have booked, chapter and verse 4. That's not some preaching of a former generation of 50 years ago. That's straight out of the life of Moses and many other Bible characters. It's not what man says. It's about what God is telling me to do through His inspired Word and the New Testament Scriptures. He kept the Passover and He saved. He just does what God says. And it's a question that we must ask and answer each day that we get up. And so as we close this morning, these five fundamental questions. Who am I? The issue of identity. What do I want to be today? Just a floundering, drifting, doing whatever, or the responsible thing of following what God wants me to do? What is important to me? The treasures of Egypt, or we might say America, or serving the Lord? The issue of priority. The issue of resiliency. How am I going to live today? Am I going to be a quitter? Or cross the finish line, having endured? And who am I going to listen to? There's so many voices vying for our attention today. So many people saying so many different things. You wonder sometimes if the light and the truth of God's Word gets lost in all the quagmire and darkness of all of the voices that are going around. But it's still there if we'll let it be. It doesn't have to be lost. Like Isaiah says, truth is fallen in the street. That doesn't have to be the case with us. Let's ask and answer these questions each day, and we'll find the reward that Moses found. You may need to begin this morning by coming, and there's power in the blood. It's time for you to apply the blood as they had to on those doorposts. You apply it on the doorpost of your heart. Apply that blood of Christ in baptism. Come. We're going to sing that invitation, and you can do that. If you need to come back in some way, and we can help you to do that and pray for you, let's do that. But when we get up tomorrow, in addition to what am I going to eat and what am I going to wear, let's make sure we're asking and answering these fundamental and foundational questions that make us right with God. I hope that this has encouraged us and helped us. If you're subject in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?